Would you please open God's Word to the book of Psalms, chapter 55. The Psalms are great studies into the very heart of mankind. I suppose you would be hard-pressed to think of a human emotion that is not expressed somewhere in the book of Psalms. Particularly the Psalms that are attributed to David, where he just seemingly opens up his heart and pours it out for us to read and to know. The 55th Psalm is one of my favorite Psalms that is attributed to David. In this first verse, he begins by saying, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and am surely distracted. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me." Have you ever been there before? Have you ever gone to God in prayer, begging Him, "Please hear me"? Begging Him to know and to take notice of the fact that you are in your life in the midst of some kind of trouble, of some kind of peril. You ever been there before? Well, read on and listen to what David says. In verse 4, "My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me." Now verse 6. "I said, oh, that I had the wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest." Have you ever been in the midst of some kind of problem, some trouble that has come into your life, and you have cried out to God to hear your prayer, and then you have thought the same thing that David expresses here? Maybe you don't think it. Maybe you're like me. You don't think it in such poetic and beautiful ways, but nonetheless, you have thought it. If I could just get away from here. I don't know what problem you may have faced that would be like this that David expresses, but I suspect there have been times in your life when you have wished that I could just get away. And that's exactly what David said. "If I had the wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." You know, David was such a great man, such a great hero of faith. And if you're familiar with the life of David, you're well aware, I'm sure, of the statement made in the book of Acts that he was a man after God's own heart. David was a great king. He was a great warrior. He was a great servant of God from his very youth. I mean, there is no more famous, no more wonderful story than the story about David in his youth, and how in great faith in God he went out and faced the giant Goliath and won the victory over him. And in that youthful period of his life, he was telling other people as he went into that battle, "The battle is not mine, the battle is the Lord's." What a great character David was. But what would bring him to the point that he would say the things that he has said here in the 55th Psalm, that his heart was in anguish and that there were terrors of death that were upon him, and he was in fear and in trembling, and that he was overwhelmed with horror, and that he longed to have wings like a dove, that he could just fly away and get away from these things. Now, I suggest to you a few things in David's life that may have brought him to the point to write these words in Psalms 55. I think one thing that might have brought him to this was just the weight of obligations, just the weight of responsibilities. David grew from that young boy of faith to be, of course, God's own selection to succeed Saul as king over Israel. And he took on himself the obligations of the king. The statement is made, uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. All the obligations and the responsibilities that weighed upon David from day to day easily could have brought him to the point that he would say, as he does in verse 2, I am restless in my complaint and am surely distracted. Do you have any obligations that weigh heavy on you? That you would say like David, I just wish I had wings like a dove. I'd fly away and I'd get away from these responsibilities. Everybody seems to be looking to me. Everybody seems to expect me to settle this problem, to solve this dilemma. Well, I'll tell you another thing that I thought of that may have brought David to wish for wings like a dove that he could fly away from. And that were disappointments that came in his life. And again, if you're familiar with the life of David, you're well acquainted with many instances in his life when he suffered great disappointments. But I dare say that there was no greater disappointment in David's life than that which he experienced from his children. One in particular, by way of example, that we might look to is Absalom. And you know that story, I imagine, of Absalom, his son, who through conspiracy and through devious plannings stole the very kingdom of David away from his own father. In the book of 2 Samuel in chapter 15, you'll find where the record tells us of how Samuel did this, how Absalom did this. In verse 4, we're told that moreover Absalom would say, oh, that one would appoint me judge in the land. Then every man who has any suit or cause could come to me, and I would give him justice. And when a man came near to prostrate himself before him, he would put out his hand and take hold of him and and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom dealt with all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole away the hearts of the men of Israel. And again, if you're familiar with this story, you know that once Absalom had secured the loyalties of the people of Israel, then he put into motion his plan to kill his own father David and to take his throne. David, of course, fled from Jerusalem. He escaped Absalom's plan and eventually won back his kingdom from Absalom. But that doesn't erase the heartache that must have been borne by David, dealing with the fact of the betrayal by his own son, how his son had turned away from what David had sought to do as king in Israel. Can't you imagine as David fled from Jerusalem, fled for his very life, went out into the hills of Judea? Can't you imagine that as he was there, that he felt, oh, if I just had the wings of a dove, I would get away from this heartache that my son has brought on me. Have you been disappointed by any loved ones? You have a son or a daughter who has broken your heart by choices they've made? Could you say, oh, if I just had the wings of a dove, I'd get away from this problem in my life? I know that another thing I think of that may have brought David to this was just the deep sense of grief that he experienced from time to time. And there were more than one occasion when David was brought to grieve in his life. But just continuing with that story of Absalom, as David sought to win his kingdom back, he instructed those men who commanded his armies that as they went out to do battle against Absalom and the forces that were loyal to Absalom to win back his kingdom, even still, David instructed those men to deal kindly with my son Absalom. Deal kindly with him. As it turned out, of course, you know that Absalom died in the conflict that took place. And when you come to 2 Samuel chapter 18, and news is being brought back to David about the victory that his forces have won, how he is once again to be king in Israel. In verse 29, the king said, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" I mean, his son's well-being is still in his heart, regardless of how much the boy had disappointed him. And he receives the answer that when Joab sent the king's servant and your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was. Word came later on still to David of the death of his son, how his son had died in the battle, in that tumult that this messenger had seen. And then verse 33, I think in probably one of the most pitiful pictures in all of the Old Testament. The king was deeply moved, went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And thus he said as he walked. I want just picture this in your mind, in the palace. That long hallway that led from the throne room to the private chambers of David. He's received news of the death of his son, and as he walks that long hallway, his shoulders slump. "Oh, my son Absalom. My son Absalom. Would I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom. My son." I don't believe find a more grief-stricken picture of a man than that of David. And don't you know that as he walked that long hallway, he may very well have been thinking, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I could fly away and get away from the grief that now grips my life." One other thought that I had about what may have brought David, this great man of strength and of faith, to the point that he would speak these words, "I wish that I could just run away and get away," would have been mistreatment that he suffered at the hands of people, at the hands of people that he trusted. Back in Psalms chapter 55 and in verse 3, we read where he said, "Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me." Who might these have been that brought David to this point? Look in verse 12. He says, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion, my familiar friend." David is here giving us some insight, I think, into what it was that brought him to this point. Of, if I had the wings of a dove, I would just fly away from these troubles. He's betrayed. He has been let down. By whom specifically, we don't know. Could it have been this betrayal by Absalom? Possibly so. But he speaks here about a familiar friend. He speaks about one who was my companion, about one my equal. I wonder if it is not the story recounted in the 2 Samuel chapters 16, 17, 18, as that conspiracy of Absalom unfolded. There was a man by the name of Ahithophel who was the trusted counselor of David. The Bible says that the counsel that Ahithophel gave was as if he had spoken to God himself. In other words, Ahithophel was the kind of man who had the had wisdom and insight and ability to advise that it seemed like everything he ever said was the right thing to say. You know those people? They can say the right thing. They can say it the right way. They can say it at the right time. Do you know someone like that? Well, that was Ahithophel. But when the conspiracy of Absalom unfolded, Ahithophel is found to be standing with Absalom. And there's one point where he gives advice to Absalom. He says, "You give me the number of men that I ask for, and I will pursue David, and I will put him to death. I will bring all of this to an end." You ever been betrayed by someone, your confidant? Someone who you just put all of your trust in, almost. Kind of brings you to the point where when you're in the midst of suffering that heartache, that you might very well just say, "If I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away." Well, those are some of the things that I thought of that might have brought David to this point. But what lessons can we learn from it? Well, I'll tell you, lesson number one is you don't have the wings of a dove, and neither did David. And there's no way to fly away. There's no way to just get up and run away from our problems, though we may want to deny them, though we may ignore them, though we may sometimes just not address them at all. They're still there. And they must be addressed. What about you? You're weighed down by obligations and responsibilities? You know, Scriptures speak to us a great deal about people who shouldered responsibility. You remember the words that Jesus spoke about those who want to come after me? Let them do what? Deny themselves? Take up their cross daily and follow after me. He was speaking about shouldering the responsibilities of faith. One of my favorite New Testament passages is in Romans, the 16th chapter. We won't take the time to go there and look at it, but you just skim over that chapter sometime, and it's one of those chapters that's a list of names. And it talks about Trophimus and Mary and Phoebe. It talks about men and women alike who were commended by the Apostle Paul for their faithfulness. I sometimes refer to it as the chapter of pluggers. You know what a plugger is? It's just somebody who just keeps plugging. They just keep putting one foot in front of the other. They keep going on. They don't give up. They don't quit. They don't lay aside the responsibilities or obligations, but they shoulder them. They take up their cross daily, and they follow after the Lord. You face disappointments in your life? Is there a son or a daughter who's broken your heart? What do you do about that? Is there a mother or a father who has disappointed you? Would you just fly away if you could? I'm reminded of Jesus' lesson, that parable that he teaches, that is, of course, intended to tell us about our fathers dealing with the heartache of our disappointing him. Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. And how does God, our Father, deal with the disappointment brought into his life by his children? That prodigal son who one day comes back. And by the way, I trust I won't insult you by saying this. Prodigality does not mean coming back. The prodigal son was a prodigal, not because he came back one day. Prodigality is wastefulness. He was a prodigal son because he wasted what his father had given him in his inheritance. But yet in that disappointment, still, where is the father in Jesus' lesson? He's standing there waiting for the return of the son. I don't know what disappointment you may face in your family or in personal relationships that you have with others. But I'll tell you, one way as a Christian to go about dealing with it, it is to be like that father who looks for, who longs for the return of that one who has left and who has wasted what God has given. Are you one who deals with griefs? Do you face the loss of a loved one? Do you face the impending loss of some loved one? Oh, it's easy a lot of times facing situations like that to think, well, we face it all alone. Nobody understands. Nobody can grieve. Nobody's endured the kind of grief that I'm enduring. That great story in John, the 11th chapter of Jesus, as he comes to the house of his friend Lazarus, who has died and who has been buried, and there he confronts the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. And seeing as people wept, the Bible tells us simply that Jesus wept. Why? Well, not because Lazarus was dead, because Jesus knew he was going to raise him from the dead. I'm persuaded Jesus wept out of compassion for the grief of those that he saw at that point weeping over the loss of their loved ones. Now, you and I never grieve completely alone. What is it that brings you to the point where you wish to have the wings of a dove and just fly away? Is it the mistreatment, the betrayal of others, those that you thought you could trust? How many times has it been so? It should never be so, but it is something that happens from time to time where Christians don't behave like they ought to. Maybe you've suffered the mistreatment of brothers or sisters in Christ who you thought would have known better on how they should have behaved. Maybe it's someone like Ahithophel, who you've trusted as a counselor, someone whose advice and whose lessons, someone whose teachings over the past, over years have been so valuable to you, but yet at some critical moment, they've done something they should not have done. They've said something they should not have said. They've done something that hurts you. You feel betrayed. And the response so many times by people is, it's not, if I had the wings of a dove, I'd fly away. It is, I'm leaving, and I'm never coming back. Have you ever suffered such mistreatments? You don't suffer them alone. You're certainly not the only person that's ever suffered such disappointments. I think, finally, what about sin? And sin in your life. As a child of God, are you living in a way that's consistent with the example of Christ? Or maybe you've never obeyed the gospel, maybe you've never become a Christian. What about sin and the involvement of sin in your life? Once you become convinced of the reality of sin and of the consequences of sin, we might very well be brought to the point that we would say, oh, I wish I could get away from this. If I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away. I would escape the consequences. David was surely a man who dealt with sin. He confronted sin, and he gives us a good example of how to do so. You know the story of how he sinned with Bathsheba, and he compounded that sin by lying to her husband, then eventually by having her husband killed. In another of the great psalms attributed to David, in the 51st Psalm, we find him coming to the point in dealing with what is generally believed to be this point in his life, dealing with the sin that he was guilty of. He says in verse 4, "Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak, blameless when you judge." You drop down to verse 16. He says, "For you do not delight in sacrifice, and otherwise I would give it. You're not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." When David confronted sin in his own life, it was not with the wish to, just escape it, run away from it. But he did so by confronting it, by admitting it, by acknowledging what God expects of us in order to be made right with Him once again. Do you deal with sin in your life? Don't do so by trying to run away from it. Don't hope for wings of a dove to fly from it. But as David did, face it, confront it. Do so in the way that God has urged us to face sin. Face it with faith that Jesus can bring about forgiveness of it because He is God's Son. Turn away from your sin. Repent of it. Confessing your faith in Christ, be baptized. Wash away the guilt of that sin. In so doing, then, rise from the waters of baptism to walk a new life. Live as a Christian. Live following that example of Christ. Always turning to Him in those times of disappointment, of grief, of heartaches. Not longing for the wings of a dove, but longing for the consolation of the Lamb. Are you subject to His invitation to follow Him this day? If you are, we encourage you to come in obedience as we stand and sing.